It's been pretty great. Just seeing people grow up, people getting stronger, people, the building being empty, and then all of a sudden there's people. And then it's paid for. And there's more people. And it's just growing and growing. As Dan said, I don't know of anything that's going to affect as many people for the ministry of Jesus Christ and the gospel than a free word in multiple languages sent all around the world. And we get to be a part of it. Glory to God. God is so faithful to give a vision and then to see it through and see it come to pass. Praise the Lord. Well, today we're going to talk about faith. Do you guys like that?
Yes.
Me too. The title today will be Faith is the Victory. Baby steps. And it'll make more sense as we go on. Baby steps. So if you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start out in the King James on verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Our faith is the victory. Now, in past times, I talked to you about the love of God and how faith is activated and energized and working through the power of love. But today, we want to focus on faith. Because faith is the victory. Faith is what takes over. I like the way the message says it in verse 4. It says, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Isn't that cool? The power that brings the world to its knees. Well, how many of you are believing for something, stuff? Prayed for stuff? Glory to God. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I'm endeavoring, for me, to break it down so I can understand it better. Because I can get caught up. I can get caught up on this scripture and that scripture and reading and going through. There's 247, I think there is, scriptures on faith in the King James Bible. When you look up faith in your computer and it prints them all out, I can get caught up on reading all of those. But you know, there's only one scripture that talks about how you get it. There's only one out of 247 scriptures in the King James Bible that actually lets you know how to get faith. Romans 10:17. It's the only one. All of these scriptures talk about people with faith and how faith moved them and how faith moved Jesus and how faith moves God and how they received by their faith. They've received and all of these stories about faith. You can go ahead and put that up, Romans 10:17. This is the only one that says how you get it. And it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we know Brother Moore's talking about spirit realms. So we know that there is a good spirit realm and a bad spirit realm. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's God's spirit realm. Now, if you hear a bunch of junk, you're going to get the other kind of faith. If all you tune into is junk, you're going to get a different faith in junk. So, faith comes by hearing. God, faith, comes by hearing the Word of God. I'm trying to see which one. This one's very true. We're going to go to the message in that same one. The point is, before you trust or have faith, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. Glory to God. So today, unless I tell you about Jesus, about the word of God, there's not going to be anything for you to listen to. If I get off on my opinion, you need to shut your ears off. Look at me real funny and get me back to where I'm supposed to be. Okay? Because the word of God is what we're after. We're after faith. Now Jude, verse 20, it talks about building up your faith. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Two scriptures out of 247 times that faith's mentioned throughout the King James. Two of them tell you how to get it and how to build it up. Out of all of those other scriptures, then they're great. They give us examples. Because how many of you know if you thought nobody else could do it, it might hurt you believing that you could? If nobody ever graduated college and you were the first one, you might doubt that you're going to get to graduate. If nobody else ever passed a test. When I was lifeguarding and teaching lifeguard training in a college there in Missouri, my students were trying to test me a little. So one day they called me and had me come over and open the pool. I opened the pool and there was a guy there from New Jersey to administer a test for Rob. They had signed me up. And so I went over. I had no real idea what was going on. And we had talked about it. We had found it. It was one of the hardest tests for our area and for a lifeguard. And so I got signed up. They showed up and he introduced himself, told me who he was, said he was with the National Park Service and he was there to administer a test. And so I went and changed and commenced a test. And I went through this test and I passed it. And when I passed it, this man, Carl, he looked at me, Carl Martinez, he looked at me and he goes, "Well, that presents us with a problem." I said, "Okay, what's going on?" He goes, "I've never had anybody this far west pass this test. So I don't even bring the paperwork anymore." And so he said, "I administer it every year all over these locations." He goes, "But when you get this far west, nobody ever passes. So it's just easier to travel going in and out of the hotels to not have all the paperwork." So then we had to get the paperwork faxed and take care of that because it presented a problem. Since then, numerous kids in that area have passed that test because somebody passed it. I didn't know anything about it. I was ignorant. I just thought, "Oh, wow, we're swimming. Great. I can swim." And so I passed the test, but by doing so, there's a bunch of other kids in our area that passed the test and made him carry paperwork every time. Well, that's what we're talking about here for faith. We want to pass a test. We want an example so that when we pass it, everybody behind us goes, "Oh, yeah, they made it." As Dan said, we were working together and I was traveling and ministering and he got to see me every day. And I was pretty rough. But the Lord was using us. It was the mercy of the Lord. And Dan got to see just how merciful God was. And one day we came back and I was like, "Oh, God did this and God did this. And we got to see this and we got to see that." And Dan just started laughing. He goes, "Brother, you give me hope." He was going, "Man, if God can use you, I can get there." Well, see, that's what we're after. We want everybody around not to think that we're up here in the clouds, but to go, "Wow, Rob's there. Glory to God. If he can use Rob, man, we can make it. I'm there. I'm going." And you see, that's that faith victory. Your victory builds them up and they get hope because they've seen it happen. They've seen somebody that messed up. They've seen somebody that failed this test and that test and that test. But after a period of time of learning and growing and getting stronger, they passed it. So when they fail it the first time, they don't go, oh, it's over. I'm never going to do it again. They go, you know, he took it a couple of times. We were laying hands on people and praying one time, and God was so merciful. We were praying, praise the Lord. We were praying all of the stuff Brother Moore teaches not to. Don't, you know, oh Lord, Lord, if it's your will. Lord, if you could just see fit. Oh Lord, like he was deaf. We didn't know any better. We had our Pampers on and we were holding them up with both hands. But you know, God was so merciful. We stood there and we did all we could do. And it really was childlike faith. We didn't know anything else. I didn't grow up around faith and healing. I didn't grow up around seeing anybody get healed. It was occasionally, and then it was chalked up to, well, praise the Lord, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. And that's all I knew. But I was doing it the best I knew. And because I was, we got to see stuff. And we were praying, and sometimes, for whatever reason, we got to see manifestations. Sometimes we didn't. One guy came back, and we were going to pray twice, and I thought, oh, Lord, we got to pray twice. Well, wasn't very long. I was reading, and I saw where Jesus did. Man, that built me up. I thought, if Jesus, the Son of God, prayed for a blind man, and he came away, and he saw men like trees, and then he prayed again, and he could see clear. I thought, glory to God. If the Son of God has to pray twice, I'm not going to quit at the first time. I'm going to keep going. Well, that's that faith victory. It came, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one, until you just feel like you're going to walk on a cloud everywhere you go. And when people are around that, they just want to follow. They just want to be a part. It's contagious. Have you ever seen people that are excited about something? It doesn't matter if the idea is so lame and will never, ever work. If they're excited and hooked and they're talking, just, man, this is the greatest thing. We're going to take ice and we're going to haul it up to Alaska and we're going to sell it to everybody. You're going, that's so dumb. But if they're excited about it, you get caught up in that. And you start going, well, I guess they could use ice. Everybody can use ice. Yeah, 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 we'll go to Alaska. We'll go out and buy. And we'll start selling ice. Because faith is contagious. Faith catches. And when you walk and talk faith, people, they want to come around you. In the past, I've went back and forth some in that area, and I catch myself because I catch myself watching people. Have you ever talked to somebody and they need help and you're speaking faith and you're there and they're hooked and they're getting better and better and better, and then all of a sudden you get on a sidebar and you start noticing their whole demeanor's changing and you're going, what in the world happened? They were doing so good. Well, it was you. It was me. Because we were building them up and building them up in faith. And then I got on a rabbit trail about some other something and I lost them. And so God's been dealing with me. I've been believing. And that's why we're going to baby steps. There's more than one meeting for it. But baby steps, because I need it. I need to know A, B, C, right on through the alphabet. Because if I don't start there, I'm going to miss something important. Have you ever seen somebody and let's go to this. Rob Cannaday is our IT guy up in Branson. And one day I'm working on my little church computer in the office there, and man, all of this junk started just flying onto my screen. And I'm like, oh my lands. It's pop-ups. It's advertising. It's everything. Just all over my screen. Just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I grabbed the phone. I'm like, Rob, you got to come to my office. I don't know what I did. But I said, I got all of this stuff on my screen. It's all over it. And it's not stopping. It just keeps coming. And he comes down and he looks at it. And, you know, Rob's an IT guy. He's like, there you go. You're good. And I said, man, I'm sorry. I did not mean to do anything like that. I don't know what that was. And he kind of laughed. And I don't know that this was a compliment. He goes, Rob, I'm not concerned about you doing something intentionally that would cause that. I was like, wait. You see, he knows I'm not a computer whiz. And so for me to go into two or three different screens deep, it had to be an accident. And so he's telling me, you know, I'm not concerned about you doing that at all. And I was like, oh, thanks. And about the time he walked out the door, I thought, wait. What exactly is he trying to say? Well, if you take somebody like me with computers and they're walking through the steps and they don't get them all in the right order, it doesn't work very well. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to start with verse 23. In the King James. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. How many of you heard those verses? I heard those a whole lot. And they started right where I started. They go, oh yeah, you remember Mark 11, 23 and 24. You can have this and you can have this and whatever you desire you can have. And you can just, and they took off and they're excited. But that's kind of like me in a computer. I can look through the steps and I can type all the stuff up and my screen's still black. And I'm going, what in the world? It says do this and hold these and hit that. And I skipped the first step. I skipped the one with the power. And so I have to turn the power on. Well, so many times you hear Mark 11, 23 and 24 and they're excited and they're talking about it, but they skip the power step. Go back to verse 22. And Jesus answering them said unto them, have faith in God. All of 23 and 24 is true. It's the word of God. It'll heal you. It'll deliver you. It'll set you free. But you got to have the power. You got to know where that power comes from. You got to know where it originates so you can have that faith. So that whatsoever you say, whatsoever you ask for, whatsoever your heart's desire is, it'll come. You see, I have prayed for things over and 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 over. And the majority of them didn't come to pass. Me. Not talking about anybody else. Me. Prayed and agreed for this. Prayed and agreed for that. Prayed over this. Prayed over that. Prayed over something else. Prayed over and prayed over and prayed over and never saw any results. And I'd go, Lord, what am I doing? What? He's finally, when I started having a little bit more understanding, little bit more understanding, the Lord's like, what are you standing on? What do you believe in for? Why do you have the right to ask? Why do you have the right to believe? Why do you have that to speak and it come to pass? Well, most of the time I was praying for stuff, I didn't know about being a joint heir with Jesus. I didn't know that when a child of God speaks, Everything else has to come to pass because that's who we are. We were created out of the seed of the Word of God. And we are a joint heir. And we have power and we have authority. And when we speak it, all of the universe has to line up with it. Just like in the days of old when they spoke and the sun stood still. When they spoke and the shadow went backwards. When they spoke and people raised from the dead. All of those are children of God. I didn't know any of that. And I was just praying. And I was praying for this and praying for that and joining faith with this person and that person. And I was hurting my faith in theirs. Because I wasn't seeing a result. And so I was thinking about it and I was trying to figure it out. And I was trying to get an illustration. And so, if you know somebody that works out quite a bit, and you get an Olympic weight bar, and you set it up, and you put three or four 45-pound plates on each side, that's quite a bit of weight. And you take somebody that's never worked out a day in their life, and they are all psyched up. They are a child of God. They have faith. They're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And they walk up and they grab that bar and it doesn't move. They go, glory to God, I'll get it tomorrow. And they walk away. They can do that day after day, after week, after year, after multiplied years and never ever move that bar. Not because they weren't believing. Not because they didn't have the ability to get to there, but because they didn't take the steps it took to start where they were to be able to build those muscles up to get to where they are now. Now they can hurt themselves and take weeks and months and years to rebuild the injuries before they can move on because they're trying to get somewhere they're not. And so many people are doing that with faith. I did that for years with faith. I still do that occasionally with faith. And I go, Rob, hello. Because we're taught so well here. We get this teaching and we every week, I don't know about you, but I've been believing for steel-toed dress shoes. Not really. Because every week, there's something in there that I'm going, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. Lord, I'm not doing that either. Every week, Brother Moore, Mrs. Moore, Dave, they get up here and they speak. And I'm going, oh, I've read that many times and I never saw it that way. I'm sorry, forgive me. Help me to get this right. And I do it week after week after week after week because every week, I'm believing to progress, and every week we're getting more information, more revelation to where we can grow bigger and stronger. But you don't walk up and pick up a 400-pound bar the first day. You don't walk up and grab it and try to curl it. You don't walk up and try to move it. You take baby steps. You come in and you get whichever ones you can move easily. And you start building that. I'm telling you from watching, not necessarily from experience. I'm a great observer in weightlifters. I can watch Dan work out. He'll lift weights. And I go, man, you're doing good. But you start out with something you can handle. And so I was thinking about my finances and my stuff. And I'm going, Lord, we're believing for this and this and that. And I prayed for this and we saw this or we didn't see that. And so I'm trying to be as honest with myself as I can be. And I got to thinking and the Lord had me go because I kind of grew up in the country. So I went back to the country. And I went to the computer and I started pulling up corn. Because the Word of God is seed. And Jesus likens it to seed in all kinds of analogies and all kinds of parables. And so I pulled up corn. Because one kernel of corn I knew made a corn stalk. that had hundreds of kernels of corn on the stalk. And so I pulled it up so that I could look at it, because I'm believing for stuff that my faith can't handle. I'm looking at stuff and then I'm disappointed. I'm trying to pick up a 400-pound bar and I haven't been able to pick up a 30-pound bar yet. And so I'm writing verbally checks my faith can't handle. And so I'm disappointed in myself. I'm hurt. I feel like I've let myself down, other people down, because my faith wasn't there yet. The only reason I did it, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord. You just get to air out all kinds of good stuff, don't you? The only reason I did it, it's pride. There's no other way around it. I don't want somebody to think I'm not where I could believe for 100 or 500 or 5,000 or whatever it is. And it's pride. And you got to look at it. For me, I had to go, Rob, why isn't that happening? Why isn't that coming to pass? Why aren't you doing that? Well, I got to thinking, well, let's drop back. Let's go back to maybe something Rob can believe for. And so I started looking at stuff and started sowing, and some of you have received. And it's hard on your pride when you are a faith person. And the Lord deals with you to sow $1 or $5 or $10. It's hard on your flesh. Was for me. Because I'm going, well, what are they going to think? They're going to think that you just, that's all you got. Or they're going to think that's all the faith you have. Or they're going, you know what? It's irrelevant. What it boils down to is Rob has to build Rob's faith up so he can handle a 400-pound bar. And so I've got to figure out where I'm at and start there. So I broke it down and I was like, okay, Lord, what am I believing for? Well, I'm believing for $50 or $100. Or $10. And so I was like, okay, well, if I sow $1 and I get a 10% increase, I got my $10. And if I sow a $5 and I get a 100% increase, I get $100. And so I go back to my little stack of corn and I'm looking at this corn, and one kernel of corn makes a corn stalk. And in sweet corn, which is, I guess, just what I was used to, on average, you get 1 to 4 ears of corn out of every stalk of sweet corn. Well, that's great. You planted one seed, you get 1 to 4 ears of corn. But you see, that's not true with what you planted to what you reaped. You have to look at how many kernels of corn are on an ear of corn. And so I went back and I started looking it up and typing it in, and on an average from all different areas and soils and stuff, on an average, a sweet corn has 800 kernels of corn in every ear. And so when you plant one kernel of corn, you get 800 to 3,200 kernels of corn back. Well, the Bible says we get 30, 60, 100 fold. Well, that's way beyond 30, 60, 100 fold. It's in the natural. It's in the fields all around, in the gardens all around. We see it all the time. I just didn't put it to my $1 seed. My $1 seed could be $800, $3,200 in the right ground, in the right soil, with the right water. I don't have to sow hundreds and hundreds to reap that. I'm going to reap multiples of what I sow. And so if I sow a dollar, I can reap $1 800 times. I can reap $1 3,200 times. That's just simple country math. A farmer where I grew up, if he planted kernels of corn and planted a field, there's 30 plus thousand kernels of corn in 1 acre of land. 30 to 35,000 is about the average that you would plant in a field on an acre of land. If they'd have came out after they had planted it and did all of that work, and on every one of those 30 some thousand plants, they'd have got one kernel of corn, you wouldn't want to be in earshot. They would not be happy. But the enemy had me so confused, had me so just beat up, that, man, I'm believing for dollar and happy if I got it. And I'm feeling like I've got to sow because I have to look someplace I'm not. And so I had to back up. And I had to start sowing a dollar. Start sowing $5. Start sowing, because I had to look at what I was believing for. And if you're believing for a $100 harvest or a $100 handshake, a dollar at even a minor amount in seed time and harvest is your $100 harvest. At even a small rate compared to corn in a garden, that's where it is. And so I had to go back and go, well, what am I believing for? Well, I'm believing for $100 for this, or $500 for that, or I'm believing for this. I had to go back and subtract that 100 times or 30 times. And if my faith wasn't at 100-fold faith, I had to go back and go, okay, if I do 5 and I only get 30-fold, okay, I need to sow this much at 30-fold to reap this much, because that's where my faith is. And so I had to back up, and I had to look, and I had to be honest with Rob to be able to start where I was. Because I can pretend all day long. I can walk up to that 400-pound bar, and I can yank and tug, and I can pull my shoulders and joints out of socket day in and day out. But Rob's not going to lift it. Not easily, not helpfully. Now, I've done some stupid things, so this is definitely an analogy. I have tried to pick up the 400-pound bar. But that's not where my faith is. That's not where my body and my muscles are. And so I had to back up. And I had to just be honest with Rob and go, man, it doesn't matter what people are thinking. Rob needs to back up. Rob needs to sow a dollar. Rob needs to sow $5. Rob needs to believe God and occasionally sow $100. Rob needs to put that seed in ground, because one of the things that Rob was having trouble with was believing that I heard perfectly and that I got it in the perfect ground at the perfect time. And I'd hear something, I'd go, okay, well, praise the Lord, I think that's right. And I'd sit on it a little bit and go, well, you know, Brother Moore says if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. I did that Friday night. Had to take care of it today. I thought I heard something. And I thought, man, I believe that's right. Give me a day or so. And so I did. And then I apologized today, because it was right, and I was supposed to have done it Friday. And so I had to apologize and say, Lord told me to do this Friday. I waited till today. It's my fault. You see, I'm trying to learn it. And I'm trying to figure it out. And for me, I have more confidence in me sowing a $5 seed to 5 different plots of ground and reaping a harvest off of all of them, and one of them being 100-fold or 800-fold or 3,200-fold, and the other ones being 30-fold. But the harvest still coming in, because I'm still learning. I'm still trying to figure out, okay, God, did you tell me to plant right there or right there? What if I just plant here, here, and here? Okay. Now I got it covered. You see, I'm still learning it. I'm still trying to figure it out and trying to make sure I hear right. And then you watch over that seed and you see it grow up, and one of them, and you're, God told you to plant here or here, and you're not real sure, so you put 3. And so as you watch that seed that was the true word and plan of God, that one's going to grow up fast. It's going to grow up big. It's going to have 4 ears of corn on it. Every one of those is going to have over 800 kernels of corn on it. And you're going to get over 3,200 coming back out of that one. This one might have 850. This one might have 1,600. For me, I look at it and go, praise the Lord, that one was right. Okay, how did that work? What did I hear? What did I think? Where was I? And I try to narrow it down, so next time I only got to plant two. And I'm believing to hear well enough to only have to plant one, and it come back with that 1,000 times more that the Bible talks about. And so I'm believing for steps. I'm believing to learn to hear Him perfectly and to be able to plant my kernel of corn in the best ground, where the water's going to be the best, where it's going to be able to get all of the nourishment, all of the nutrients, and those stalks are going to grow tall, get extra sunlight, be strong, pull in a lot of water, and maybe get 5 or 6 years of corn on it, because it happens. But it only happens in a certain rich environment and everything just right. And so I'm believing to learn how to hear it, how to walk it out. And so I was thinking, for me, I was trying to figure out what makes that happen. What can I have faith in to know for sure? And so I started going back and looking. And I went back to Peter. Go to Acts 11, verse 11. Because I figured out I can't have faith in something that I don't have a word from God on. Praise the Lord. You guys probably got that in the last year or so. I've been here for a long time and it's starting to sink in. I'm getting it. Praise the Lord. And so if I don't have a word that I can stand on that's from the Lord that I know is for me, for that event, that occasion, then I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting my seed. And so I started looking, and Peter, this is when he's up on the rooftop in Acts 11, verse 11, King James. Now, God just dropped the sheet with all of the different animals on it, and Peter's like, no, nothing unclean's ever passed my lips. And the Lord's like, don't call something unclean that I say is clean. Well, then, at that very moment, three men show up at the door downstairs, and the Lord tells him that, behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me, verse 12, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. You see, the Spirit of the Lord told Peter, go. Don't worry about it at all. Just go. I got it. See, that was a word from the Lord for Peter. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to worry about what was going to happen, who these people were. He had a word from the Lord through the Spirit of God. There's three people at your door. Don't worry about it. I got this. Go with them. It'll be good. Peter's got a word from the Lord. He's got faith that when he goes with them, God's got it under control. Over and over and over, angels of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, gave them words. And so as I'm looking, I'm going, well, yeah, but what's my word? I haven't had an angel come and tell me anything. And, you know, what can I believe in? What can I have faith in? And he told me, I don't even know if I got that. It's in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I don't know if God talks to you this way, but for me, I get a question, and I grew up with a pastor for a grandpa, and then my dad answered the call, and he was a pastor, and I was privileged with very rarely getting an opinion. But Grandma, what about this or what about that? Well, let's look. What does the Bible say about that? Grandpa, what about this? What about that? Well, grab the concordance, sit down. What does it say about that? What words are you talking about? And so I got a lot of word answers, which was awesome. And so when I was asking that, I was like, but Lord, what do I have? There's nothing that says Rob Hunsaker should do. I can't find that in my Bible. And so I was like, well, Lord, what do I have? What is that word? And since then, I've heard Brother Moore, you know, he talks about, he was asking God, God, talk to me. God, talk to me. And the Lord told him something along the lines of, I have told you many things in my word. Read those and understand those, and then I'll add to it if I want to. Well, I don't know that I had all of that in my head at that moment. And so verse 16 of chapter 3 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. I thought, okay, so now I just got to figure out when you're talking to me and when you're not in the Word and what occasion. And so I started going through places and I started looking at that. And I thought, well, you know, I watched this person and man, they got great faith. They got huge faith. I don't know that I got faith. And so he showed me this. If I can find it. Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, well, that includes me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So if you're here this morning and the enemy's got you thinking, man, I just don't have faith. I've prayed, I've asked, I've done this, and I just don't think I got faith. Well, he's a liar and the king of liars. The Word of God says he gave every man a measure of faith. And for Rob, I had to go back into that with a couple of the other translations for that. Go to the New Living Testament. This is the scripture I was talking about a little bit ago when I told you I had to just be straight with Rob. I had to get the facts right. I was reading through, and this is what I found. Midway down, it says, be honest with your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Well, for me, that was I had to measure myself by the faith he had given me. Brother and Sister Moore, the Lord's been growing them up, building them up. They were believing for a tank of gas, as you heard in the faith adventures. And now they're believing for million-dollar projects. And they're happening just as easy as a tank of gas. Why? Because they started where they were. They started at a baby step, a tank of gas, a meal. And then the Lord grew them up. And so I was looking at that, and there's a few of you that I've sown $1, $5, $10, $20 to. And that's what I was looking at. I was looking at, where's Rob? Rob needs to start where he is. And right now, Rob's got $1 faith. So Rob needs to sow $1 seed. No matter what anybody thinks, no matter what Rob's pride thinks or tries to rise up and get in the way, that thing needs to die anyway. And so it's tough to walk out to somebody and go, hey, be blessed, and give them a buck. Because they're going, oh, great, McDonald's, 99-cent cheeseburger. Praise the Lord, you're good to me. But it was a seed. And out of that seed, sown the best I know how, comes a harvest the best God knows how. Because if you wait till you can sow something big, God can't multiply it. If you carry that one kernel of corn around in your hand until you can sow 30 of them, that one kernel is not going to do you any good. But if you got that one kernel and you go, well, I'm going to get more, and you plant it, and then you go out and you work for more, maybe by the time you have another one, it'll only be little, and you can plant some more beside it. But what if it's all the way up? What if it grows to full size and you only had that one kernel and it was a good one? And now you've got 3,200 kernels to plant the next time you plant a seed. Now you got 3,200 plants to plant and to grow and to multiply. Steps. We got to learn to take steps. Caleb, our son, there was a lot of steps in that. When he was coming along and Carrie was pregnant, there was some issues about, I don't know how far in, but he ended up being born 7 weeks early. And so we're in there and she's not doing very good and the doctors are telling me all of this stuff and Dave's on the phone with me, building me up, being my faith buddy. I'm like, Dave, he goes, hey, God's good. And he takes off like a faith buddy should. And he's building me up and telling me we're a child of the Most High God. And we never lose a seed. And he's building me up and he's encouraging me. And the doctors are saying, oh, no, this doesn't look very good. Now, we need to take the baby right now, or it's going to hurt both of them. So we believed all we could believe, and we're going, okay, praise the Lord. We trust that. They need to go take the baby. So they haul Carrie down the hall, and they do a cesarean, and they remove Caleb. Well, before they did that, they brought a video monitor in, and they said, okay, he's 7 weeks early. A boy doesn't develop very fast. His lungs aren't developed till right toward the end when they're first born. So you need to be prepared. And they showed us a video of a baby in one of those incubators with all of the tubes and a ventilator and all of the heat pads and all of the stuff in there keeping him going and heart monitors and pumps. And they said, you may have everything. And so we got to watch this video. And so I asked him, I said, well, what is... You know, I'm learning. I was like, what's the biggest thing? What's the thing you just think there's no way he's going to be born and that be that way? He goes, well, he's a boy. His lungs won't be developed. And he'll be on a ventilator. And you need to be prepared because he's 7 weeks early. And when he's born, he'll lose a week. And typically, he's going to be in the hospital until about his due date. So you need to be ready for a 6 to 8 week stay with him in the hospital for him to lose that week and come to full development. And so we're like, okay, so what? The worst thing was lungs. So we're like, yeah. So she's headed down through the hallway. I get on the phone. I talk to Dave. And I'm like, the lungs. We need to believe for the lungs. They said that's the worst thing, that his lungs won't be developed. He'll be on a ventilator. So we got to believe for lungs. So we were believing, and I told him, I said, well, I'm just believing he screams so loud they got no doubt. That when he comes out, they'll go, that boy has lungs. Well, a little while later, the nurse comes to the waiting room, me and my mother and father-in-law walk out into the hallway and they say, "Now you're not going to be able to stop them. They're just going to wheel by on the way to the preemie ICU. So you can't stop them. You can't really talk to them. They're just going to whiz by and you're going to get to see him as he goes by." And so the nurse was really nicer than that. She stopped for a second and talked to us. But they had prepared us for a flyby. And so when the nurse comes around the corner, I'm like, "Well, how is it?" She goes, "He screams so loud. I don't think I've ever heard a baby scream that loud." Everything in me went through the roof. Because God had answered that. And then we were ready for another step. The doctor, they switched. There was a man doctor for all the procedure. And a lady took over and she comes down the hall and she goes, "Well, his lungs are strong. We don't have to worry about that." I was like, "Praise the Lord." I said, "What's next?" And they said, "Well, usually their heart rate's really high. So you got to get their heart rate down and stable so it doesn't pull all their energy, because it's going to be a little bit before they're taking in nourishment enough. And if they burn up all of that energy, they're going to lose weight fast and it's not going to be very good for them. So we got to get their heart rate down and get them to relax and all of their body relax so that it doesn't burn so much energy." And so I got on the phone and I started calling. I was like, "Okay, heart rate, we got to get the heart rate down." And I don't remember what it was, and it wasn't the next day. But we were believing for the heart rate to come down. And we were standing, and we'd walk in and out of the preemie ICU, and he, Lord blessed us. He wasn't in a fully covered. He didn't end up having a bunch of tubes. He comes out. We walk in to see him in the preemie ICU, and he's in one of those little half shells. Caleb on a half shell. There you go. And he's in one of these little half shell things with a little top on it. And the only tube he has is a feeding tube through his nose. And he had monitors on him to regulate to see how everything was. And he was small. I went back and looked at pictures so I could tell you accurately. We went walked through it last night to make sure we were accurate. And his palm from here to here fit from that knuckle to that knuckle right here. He was that little. I could put my hand over his back, and if I did this, it would cover him from his head all the way down right by his hips, completely covered. He wasn't very big. And so we were believing, and his heart rate would be up 200 or whatever it was. And so we were standing, and we were believing, and we'd come in, and he'd go down for a minute. We'd get excited, and he'd go back up. So we'd pray and we'd believe God, and a few days passed and it started coming down and staying down. And they were like, "Okay, his heart rate's stable. And he's taking in a little bit of food, but he's throwing a lot of it up." We're like, "Okay, so what's next?" She goes, "He's got to keep food down or he's not going to grow." We're like, "Okay." So we started putting our faith on this little bitty syringe with a little tiny tube. And it was like 2 milliliters. Of food. And if you put more than that in, he'd throw it up. And so we're believing for that food to stay down. And so we're going day after day. This is 4 or 5 days into his stay. And we're believing for that food to stay down, that he'll take it in and he'll keep it. And not very long, the food started staying down. We're like, "What's next?" And he goes, "Well, his food, he needs to eat more. He's not taking enough in and keeping it down to be able to get stronger. So he's just adding time. He's going to stay here in the hospital." And so we're believing. We're taking baby steps. And so a little bit later, food started staying down. He started gaining weight. Then he was eating and eating good and gaining weight, but his body temperature wasn't maintaining. They'd pull him out of the little heated covered deal and set him out in room temperature, and his temperature would drop, because he couldn't maintain his own temperature in the room. And so they're like, he can't go anywhere. He can't go home until he can maintain that. And so then we're switched, and it was a faith victory. The lungs were great. And a faith victory, the heart rate went down. And a faith victory, and the food stayed down. And then he was able to eat more, and now it's just one more. You remember David? He said, "Well, there was that lion. and there was a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine is just going to be like one of those. And so all of this time, our baby faith is growing. And we're going, okay, he needs to keep his temperature. Okay, so we're on it, and in just a day or so, he's out in an open air and doing great. And we had such favor. The anointing of God was on him. The nurses were trading areas so they could work in the area and the aisle that Caleb was on. And we got in there, and they take pictures along so that you have record of your baby and what's going on. And we got ours, and there's a ton of pictures in there. And the lady told us, don't tell anybody. I'm like, why? She goes, well, we typically take 6 or 7 pictures of the baby while they're in there. But we have quite a few more of that of yours. And there was 35 pictures of Caleb because they were drawn to him because God was working on him. And so he was able to keep his temperature. And then they said, well, he needs to be able to be to 5 pounds before he can go home. Well, it wasn't very long, and he was keeping his temperature. And make sure I got that right. He had to take a bottle and weigh 5 pounds. And it wasn't very long, he started eating on his own, and they got to pull the tube. And he started taking a bottle. And then he got to 5 pounds to where they could let us go home. And instead of being 6 to 8 weeks, it happened in 13 days. Now, I'm not telling you that to build Carrie and Rob up. I'm telling you that because it was baby steps. It was our faith believing all we could believe for one thing to happen. To see a result. Remember Brother Morris talking about the lady, and she couldn't even hardly speak. And he got her to start saying, I'm strong in the Lord. And you couldn't even hear her until in a few days she's walking out and already checked out and gone. Faith is the victory. It overcomes the world. But we got to start where we are. And we got to be unashamed enough. We could have stepped in, called Dave and said, we're believing normal pregnancy, full length, full this, full. And we could have lost Carrie and Caleb because our faith wasn't there. We could have stood in, and I've had people ask, well, aren't you over there at Faith Life Church? Why didn't you just speak to that and let them go? I wasn't there. Why didn't you just speak over Carrie's body and make, you know, her blood pressure and stuff calm down? And I wasn't there. And it's not my body. I have no right to speak beyond. If you look at what Jesus did, he didn't do that. He said, what do you want me to do? Well, I want to see. Do you believe I can do that? Well, yes. Okay, we'll see. He found out where they were. He found out what they were believing. And then he hooked with them where they were. And then he took them to another level. Baby steps. For Rob, you guys just need to be ready. There's going to be more $1 and $5 seeds and $10 seeds. And I'm believing to grow into other stuff. But for Rob, I got to be honest with Rob. And I got to start where Rob is. Because I'm not ready to pick up a 400-pound bar. I need 2 really good, strong spotters if I'm going to play with 400 pounds. And so I need to back up. I need to go to baby steps. Get my pride out of the way. Kill that old man. And I need to start where I'm at. And I need to move on. One step and another step. And believe for a $5 handshake before I believe for a $500 handshake. And I need to be real with Rob. and call, the Lord calls those things that be not as though they were. It's okay to speak, I reap thousands of dollars every day. That's just like Abraham. You're the father of many nations. He's old. He doesn't have a kid. His wife's barren. They can't have kids. But they're still saying, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. It hadn't happened yet. But we're not giving up. We're just going to walk today. And we're going to have a faith victory. And tomorrow, we're going to have another faith victory. And the next day, we're going to have another faith victory. And it's going to get so contagious that people are coming going, what is going on? You guys just are ecstatic at everything. Remember, we give a testimony for a pocket knife or a paperclip. It's a faith victory. You don't know where that person was. They may have been believing for a pocket knife for years, and they got it. And it may have meant more to them than you getting a Rolls Royce, because that's where they were. So we got to encourage each other. God's a good God. And faith moves mountains. I read in a book, faith moves God. Faith moves mountains. But the first thing faith moves is your mouth. The first thing we got to do is rise up. Believe and have faith in God. Then the power's there. The word's there. Then we can rise up. And we can start having faith victories. Because I enjoy it. I get to see some of the testimonies and I enjoy that so much because people are believing for something and it comes to pass and you can almost see the excitement as they're writing out the testimony. We believe for this and this happened. We believe for this and this happened. And see how it's contagious? You just want to bail on board and you want to see the next faith victory and you want to be a part of it and you know they believe for this and you're so excited with them. You're so happy for them, you forget about all of your stuff. Because it's so awesome and so overwhelming spiritually to see somebody grow from here to here to here and to watch them develop. That's us, amen? Would you stand with me? We're going to move from victory to victory. Faith to faith, level to level. God's good to us. He always causes us to triumph in every situation. We're strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. And we're going to go from victory to victory. Glory to God. You guys got something to sing?
What that song says? Look at that.